Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. We'll be joined by Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com coming up at 7:30. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans' 37-27 loss to Cincinnati and the benching of Will Levis. Corey Curtis from News 2 for his weekly visit coming up at 8 o'clock. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Titans fans, this is your show. We want to hear from you all show long. Will Levis to the bench yesterday, calls for change at the front office positions, even some with the head coach, getting louder and louder from Titans fans. We want to hear from you throughout the show today. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
What's up, Robbie and Joe, man? Hey, so I missed the first part of the show. I'm sure you talked about the rumbling, bumbling, stumbling T'Vondre Sweat.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit. That's the only good thing. Like, I'm glad to see that dude come alive. And he is athletic. But what's crazy, dude, is as big as he is and as hard as that stiffy was, Derrick Henry does it, and he's athletic. Isn't that crazy to think?
It's like, pretty wild.
What an animal that dude. Anyway, dude, like, I've just disconnected with the team, man. Like, little things like that help, like, pull me back in to, hey, you got to start looking at mock drafts again or something. But, dude, we shopped yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've never done this, man. This has never been a year like this. My wife's like, you want to go shop? I'm like, I guess, like, I'll just kind of listen to it or peek at my phone. But it sucked, man. Like, the whole thing is – it's not good. When Levis throws the pick that goes, I guess, ends up for an interception down the left sideline or whatever, you're just sitting here going, all right, there's the one that, you know, there's the Levis moment of the game. He keeps doing it. I'm disconnected with the team, man. I don't know week in and week out where I'm going to feel. Should we fire people? Should we run it back with Levis? I don't even know, dude. And I'll have a good sense. Like, if our team sucks, just tell me they suck, and I can move on and be in that fire everybody group. But we're sitting here being pitched a lot of stuff from them. So I'm confused. I don't know what to do. I don't know moving forward where my head should be at week in and week out. Is that? I mean, it's a lot of jumbly crap, but that's how I feel as a fan, dude. Like, I'm just, like, confused with the whole team. I don't even know. I'm just disconnected. I'll just say that.
Yep, thanks for calling. I don't think Adam's alone there, Joe. And the problem that you get into here is it's so bad. At 3-11, like you brought up, this is worst case scenario for Amy Adams Strunk with the way this thing has gone on this year. The quarterback looks like he's gotten worse. A lot of the moves the front office has made with some of the players that you brought in have not worked out. I mean, even right now, your first round draft pick's not looking all that great with J.C. Latham struggling the way he is at the moment. And again, I don't know that I'm panicking over him, but it's not been good for the last month with Latham. And look. Say what you want to say about the head coach. Has he had enough time? Probably not. But I would also say this, Joe. Brian Callahan has not had anywhere near enough of the answers in the positive so far. Agreed. This year, which is not a good place to be. Is that by itself fireable for Brian Callahan? I don't know. It's tough for me to get there. But like I if you're asking me what my confidence level is that Brian Callahan is just going to figure all this out next year, it's not high right now. Like, there's not been enough answers any way you want to slice it with any part of the team that would indicate that a positive turnaround is right around the corner.
Right. Tough to have confidence in player acquisition, in player coaching, in players. Again, the QB thing is like, that's the Yeah, but if these, you know, if these guys had a better QB, it would look all different. If you want to go there, and I'm not saying I'm going there, but that's where the whole QB thing gets also very interesting in this. I will say, Robbie, on the, you know, Adam says all jumbled, is unclear. The biggest, I would argue, defender of Will Levis, a staunch defender, Kentucky fan, Dustin from Hopkinsville. Right, we would agree. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Dustin from Hopkinsville
all year
consistently says it's the line, it's the whatever. It's not Levis. Well, he's got about 12 texts in a row here from starting it, but I'll read this one. He says, "Quote: I still want him to work out, but I gave him the year. It's about up." And he went ham to the bat against the Bengals defense. I love him, loved him at Kentucky. Want him to work out so badly, but we've got to move on from him after this year if it's looking on the downward trend. Man, it stinks. Should have moved on from Mariota earlier, and this is much worse at QB. First of all, there's no doubt about that. I mean, Mariota.
Even I would admit that.
Yeah, my God, I hope so. So, but if you lose Dustin from Hopkinsville, that's just on the quarterback front. Then I think I can't imagine you have too many people. We always have the Tennessee fans who want to chime in, right? Yep. Who are like, I told you he sucked. You know, and it's like, okay, just, you know, there was different information along the way. But when you have someone like Dustin from Hopkinsville basically giving up, that probably tells you something.
Well, look, you know, I said, I don't even remember, it was week five, week six, whatever, I threw it out there that I was out on him. And was that probably a little premature? Maybe. I mean,
looks better now.
Was it a little reactionary at the time? Probably. But, like, at some point, you just got to call a spade a spade. And yesterday was his 20th game. Like, he's played 20 games. Is that, like, fair enough for a huge – like, is that totally representative of what he's going to be the rest of his career? I have no idea. But, like, to have a game like that yesterday where you just keep turning the ball over – and handing the ball to the other team on a platter. You've thrown four pick sixes this year, which is just a huge problem. Like, at some point, you got to call a spade and just say he's not good enough. And he's not good enough. And I think the head coach kind of signaled that yesterday, Joe. Like, with, like, not only the benching, but, like, even when things were going poorly for Levis earlier in the year, Brian Callahan was always pretty consistent, right? Like, he's our quarterback. Like, when he is healthy, he will be the quarterback. He will be the starter. Mason Rudolph will be the backup. He didn't do that yesterday. I mean, I think we're getting to the point now where, look, I have no, Brian Callahan could get up there today at the podium for his weekly Monday press conference and say, Will Levis is our starting quarterback. We got him out of the game. He's going to reset this week, and he's going to be the guy coming up next Sunday. But, like, even if he says that to me, Joe, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, like, yesterday I turned the TV off after that game was over, and the first thing I did, I looked around at my wife and I said, well, coach is done with the quarterback. That was my takeaway from yesterday's game. He's done.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to not think that. You know, this also could get into, I mean, like, if you're Amy Adams Strong, you know, coach may feel is Amy Adams Strong like, hey, I'm separate from everything, you guys do whatever you want to do, you know? Or does she have a thought like, I mean, why is Mason, I mean, someone asked in the text line, could Mason Rudolph show that he could be a decent starter next year in these last three games? No, Mason Rudolph is a backup quarterback in the NFL. There's nothing
you
he's
get your
doing
fans to really check out.
Yeah,
it's
just season. Not that. So if you're Amy Adams Strong, though, you also might be, guys, I mean, you still play the kid. You still play the kid late, and frankly, because if you're her, I mean, I don't know. That's what's interesting, too. It's like you're 3-11. Obviously, the higher the pick, the better. But do you really want three more experiences like this to go to 3-14? You know, I mean, but, you know, regardless of that, like, I could see people in the organization saying, but still, like, you play him, right? Like, what is there? There's seriously just no upside to playing Mason Rudolph. I don't know. But I agree with you. Yesterday, to me, and even his kind of lack of comment after the game, it's hard to not come away thinking he is done with Will Levis.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to blame him after a game like that. But then the question is, like, to your point, what do you do if you're him? Because on the one hand, you can be done with the quarterback, and maybe it's as simple as, you know, on that call that apparently he has with Amy Adams Strunk every week, which I think he's going to have at some point today, you say, hey, I gave it my best shot. I tried to work with Will Levis, and he's just not good enough. We got to do something else. And maybe she's receptive to that. I don't know what the answer is. But maybe, like, what if her response is, well, I brought you in to work with Will Levis, and he looks worse. Like, what does that say about you, right? And if you end up with going with Mason Rudolph the rest of the way, and you finish 3-14 or 4-13 or whatever it is, and that's the other thing. We had somebody bring this up on the YouTube chat. They still do have the Colts, who, by the way, nice performance by them yesterday, the Jags and the Texans in what could be a totally meaningless game for the Texans at the end of the year left on their schedule. So they could run into a win or two here down the stretch, and then you're you might be picking 10th or 11th at that point in the draft based on everybody else keeps losing. Like, you lost again yesterday, and everybody else around you in the draft order, with the exception of the Jets, lost yesterday.
So one of those teams had to win.
Yeah, one of those teams had to win, exactly. So that's the other part of this is, like, it really doesn't do you many favors as a franchise to win right now, and yet the coach is sitting there like, well, it could do me some favors. I need as many positive things as I could get.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, from his perspective, I think I think that you have to, like, just be as simple as possible and, like, I have to win football games. So, okay, all right, so then what's your best chance of winning football games? If he's being honest right now, it's Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
Like, especially with Levis, the way he performed yesterday, he just looked really upset too. Upset at others, upset at himself, upset at all that. I don't know. Then it's basically like the stadium reacting, like, thank goodness he's out of the game. I saw him, there's video, and I apologize for who had it, but, you know, coming off the field, it looked like he was kind of getting some crap from some fans. So all of that, it's like, at this point, I guess the one thing you could say is at least getting away from Nissan Stadium might be good for Levis. But if you're being honest, like, your best chance of winning football games is Mason Rudolph. But what does that do for you? Because, again, it's like he came in this summer, and part of the overselling of this team was him talking about how excited he was to get a chance to work with Levis, right? I think he was being honest. But again, then you're aiming at Strong and saying, okay, so you believed he had all these traits. You watched all this film of him. You talked to him. You guys talked about the offense and everything. You worked on all this stuff. And now this is what he is after all this time of you and your people working with him.
Yep.
Explain that, Brian.
Yep. It's a fair thing to bring up if you're Amy Adams Strunk. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have more on Will Levis's benching yesterday and the decisions on Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan that are upcoming at some point for Amy Adams Strunk. More on that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
For him to have a chance to be your guy, and I don't know where you are in that point, but doesn't he have to be able to pull himself out of that? Don't guys in general have to be able to pull themselves out of it when they're going south?
Yeah, in general they do. I just think it went south really fast, and there was had a bunch of momentum change and shift, and it was just a decision that I made that it was to try to help spark us and maybe have him take a deep breath and take a seat. So yeah, there's a time and a place to fight through it, and there's a time and a place to do what I had to do today, and that's ultimately my decision to make, and that's what I felt like gave us a chance to at least climb back in the game at that moment.
As Brian Callahan after the game yesterday, Titans lose 37-27 to Cincinnati. Will Levis to the bench yesterday. We'll have Paul Kuharsky with us here in about 10 minutes on the program. We'll get his thoughts on what this all means for Levis and the quarterback position for the Titans moving forward. Joe Rexroad, how would you describe the tenor of the text line today? A lot of things going on that text line.
Yeah, a lot of anger. A lot of anger for sure. I'm going back and forth with Quindarius here, who says, first of all, you guys are talking about accountability and one of the hosts sounds like he's still in bed. Listen, I need the pre-show meeting that starts at 3:00. Today we didn't start it till 4:00, so you got to give me a little bit of time to get it cranking up here, you know. But yeah, you know, like, I'm being accused of making excuses. I think some people want to just this team sucks, they all suck, fire them all. That's fine. I mean, look, everything's on the table. Definitely a lot of even the Levis supporters, like I laid out there with Dustin, kind of saying, okay, yeah, I've seen enough too. You know, there's just not a lot of Still some questions about, okay, Levis is a backup next year. You know, he's on a rookie deal. Why move on from him? And again, I don't disagree with that. I mean, he may well be on the team next year. I just think that you have to have, one way or another, an improved alternative to Mason Rudolph, right? And then it gets into who on that. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can take discussion. What are you doing at quarterback? What are you doing at coach? What are you doing at front office? How do they all hurt or help each other? You know, Quindaris now says, make a stand. What do you want me to do, man? What can I do for you? I just hope that my voice is strong enough that it sounds like I'm awake at least at this point.
But thank you, Quindaris, for your participation.
Yeah, people are mad, and they should be. They should be mad. And if you know what, if that has to be mad at us, I will be here for you to deliver some punishment. You can go ahead and take it out on me. You know, that's totally fine. Now he's saying, does the team pay you? They must. Yes, that is a good point. How many times have we talked about like how Amy Anastruck needs to get out there and talk to people? Yes. No, very much.
Guys, has your check cashed from the Titans yet?
Guys, what's wrong? Did you not see that amazing Tavondre Sweat run yesterday in the stiff arm? I mean, they had some good, plays. Ridley had some good. Chig. What about Chig? I can find positives. I don't think things are as bad as people think, you know? So thank you for pointing that out. I got to get back on message and on brand that all is well in Titans land.
Yes.
I mean, again, it's like the anger with people, it's like you're displacing your anger, okay? And that's fine. I've seen it. I've done it before myself. So I think at this point we just need to be here for people, Robbie.
I think that's our responsibility on a day like today. And the interesting part is, you know, I mentioned this, and a couple people in the YouTube chat have talked about this too. David says, isn't it so perfect that the Titans, while they continue to lose, so do five or six others. They can't even create losing separation. And going back to the Levis discussion, Joe, that's where this is starting to trend. And again, there's a billion different things that can happen between now and the first round of the NFL draft. I understand that. So this conversation can and will change several times. But let's say they end up exactly where they are right now, and that's, I think, with the sixth overall pick in the draft. Well, what if they come to the same evaluation that, as we sit here today, most draft people are coming to, which is if you want a quarterback, it's probably either Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward early in round one, and then there's some drop-off after that, and you got to wait. Well, what if those two are off the board and you have to take a quarterback at some point, either in the draft or go find a veteran this offseason because of the way that Will Levis has played and a decision that may come at some point where you're moving on from him? I've said it. The last thing you want to have happen to you as a team, Joe, is to be forced into taking a quarterback. And it looks like they might be forced into taking a quarterback.
No, if you do that, I mean, it's already odds against you. Even if it's like, oh, yes, this is our guy, yes, and you get him, odds are still against you. If you get into that situation where you're taking one because you have to take one, I mean, whew, just buckle up for more of this, you know? And it's why it's such a tough situation. And again, it's like, what's the front office's plan? What's the coaching staff's plan? But then also, what's ownership's plan for them?
Yeah. No doubt. Absolutely.
Excuse me.
We'll have Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us coming up next on the program. We'll get his thoughts on the Will Levis benching and what this means for the quarterback position as they move forward, plus a lot of other things to get to with PK. We'll get into that. Preds fans, don't miss this Wednesday night Smashville live show at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs at 6 o'clock. See your Preds star players up close and personal. Your chance to get autographs and pictures as well. That's this Wednesday night at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Paul Kuharski with us up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Titans fall 37-27 to Cincinnati. Will Levis to the bench yesterday. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com. PK, good morning. How are you?
I'm all right, guys. How you doing?
Awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So Levis to the bench. He throws three picks, turns it over again on the fumble. Another pick six, which I believe is his fourth of the year. So Was that yesterday, PK, in your mind, an indictment on Levis from Brian Callahan in terms of how he views him long term? Is it just a one game thing? How do you view that decision and the repercussions of it from Callahan after making it yesterday in the game?
Well, it certainly doesn't help him long term, whether he's benched or not, how he performed. But I think in the moment, he's just trying to salvage something and stop the bleeding. Because, you know, that's one of the questions I asked. Doesn't he have to be able to kind of, you know, pull the nose of the airplane up? And he certainly wasn't able to do that. And that's one of the most concerning things. You know, quarterbacks go through bad stretches and they have bad games, but you got to be able to level things off at some point. And, you know, he just wasn't doing that in terms of the turnovers. And so I think the logic dictates that you've got to make a change there. And Rudolph was certainly a steadying force and better, though he managed to throw his pick as well. He played much better, obviously, than Levis, who just couldn't pull out of it.
Okay, PK, so if you're Brian Callahan, and let's say, you know, you have the – obviously you have way more information about Will Levis than any of us do, but you're seeing what we're all seeing, and then you take everything else into account. What are you doing right now? What is the right move for Brian Callahan right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to go back to Levis for these last three games. I don't see how playing Mason Rudolph helps you unless you feel like you've got to win. I don't even know that Mason Rudolph helps you necessarily, gives you a better chance to win. I don't think Callahan's in trouble. I mean, obviously it would help him to win games in the eyes of management, in the eyes of Amy Adams Strunk, who's the people that matters. But I've been fishing around, and I get the sense that everybody expects Amy Adams Strunk to stick with the status quo and to be patient. Now, that doesn't mean that she can't surprise everybody and not be patient and do something, unexpected or rash. I would call it rash. Many people maybe wouldn't call it rash. But I think they're just going to have to ride it out here. And three more games of him is still, to me, a better way to go. I mean, we're not too far removed from him playing pretty well. He had a three-game stretch there with an elite yards per attempt. So that's a glimmer of something. The decision as to whether you're done with him, to me, isn't an in-season decision. It's a after-the-season decision.
So, PK, I do want to get your thoughts on this because we brought this up earlier in the show. Mike Herndon from PaulKarski.com putting it out there yesterday that he's out on Carthon. He's out on the whole regime. It's bad football, and it's getting worse, and nothing that he's seen suggests competence from this group. What did you make of what Herndon had to say, which I do think is representative and is growing to be more representative of a lot of Titans fans at this point?
Well, I think you should schedule him for Thursday after he has a column at PaulKuharski.com on Wednesday.
Okay.
Where I fully expect he will be expanding on these thoughts. I was surprised. I mean, Mike Herndon is very measured, thinks analytically, and he expanded on that with some more tweets and talked about just no improvement. Over the course of what he's seen. And I think that's a fair case and a fair argument. And he's not, you know, obviously interested in seeing another free agent class and another draft. And that sounds like another an off season of Callahan working on his faults and all of that. I don't think it's going to go that direction, but I was surprised to hear that from Mike, and that holds a lot of heft for me. But I had somebody tweet me like, is that going to throw Amy Adams Strunk over the top? And I think Mike is a very important person in the media, and I'm thrilled that he writes at my site, but I don't think that Amy Adams Strunk is super plugged into Mike Herndon in terms of him being an influence on her. I wish he was.
You know, it's really, I really appreciate you coming on here because the text line's been mad at me. I've been accused of being on the Titans payroll. I've said a lot of really positive things about him today. But Caleb says, good Lord, looking at yards per attempt as a hope. Pathetic take, PK. And Phil in Clarksville says, come on, guys. You got to ask PK how you can possibly stick with Levis. The guy's a turnover machine. I'll answer that quickly, Phil. Again, I'm going to ask you, what is the upside of Rudolph? Like, what does that do for anyone? I mean, again, I think I would disagree with you, PK. I do think he probably gives you a better chance to win. At this point, Levis, I mean, what he did yesterday and how everything went with that, he seems to be right back to just wondering about confidence and all this stuff, and the ball's just spraying all over the field on him. So I think they do have a better chance to win with Rudolph, but I'm with you.
I would agree with that.
It do for you?
Yes, and the predetermined reads are a big issue. But look, here's the thing. Everybody's angry at Levis because he was terrible. So they want him to suffer a consequence, which is him being benched. But 3 weeks ago, everybody wanted the Titans to lose out to get a high draft pick. So now you want him benched so that Rudolph comes in and gives you a better chance to win? Like, which is it? I mean, they said their plan was to play Levis through the season to see what they have. Now, he had a terrible game yesterday, but I don't understand why that one terrible game, and not that he's played great by any means, but like they didn't say we're going to play Levis this season until he has a game that everybody thinks is like the decider game, right? So they've got two crappy teams coming up in a row now. I think he still continue. Look, Will Levis is going to be on the roster next year. I'm sorry to advise people of that. You can't toss him away, a guy with mentally he's not getting it done. Physically, he's got a lot of things you want in a quarterback. There aren't a lot of great alternatives for them. Sam Darnold's going to cost a fortune, and he's no guarantee. Shedeur Sanders is no guarantee. The kid from Miami is no guarantee. It's a bad time to need a quarterback. And, everybody wants him out, but nobody knows what the alternative is. I hate to break it to people, but he's on the roster next year. It's a matter of what he's doing there. And they've got three games left. They need to do something with those three games. I don't know if people recall, but when Mason Rudolph did play for those three games, it wasn't a magical time.
PK, what's your evaluation, your concern level with J.C. Latham and the way that he's played for really the last 3-4 weeks when you look at it, has not gone overly well for him at the left tackle spot?
You know, they only gave up one sack yesterday. The three penalties were bad. He kind of said yesterday like he would dispute two of them. But look, he's taken a bad dip here. Blake Bedingfield wrote in his preview at my site that, you know, if he didn't get it straight the rest of the season, he said it was like 5 games to him, not 3 games. And so now it would be 6 games to him if he didn't get it straight, that they would have to think about him not being left tackle and shop for a left tackle and put him back to right tackle. Now, I don't think the Titans will think like that. Guy's clearly got a lot of upside, but, you know, this Rand Carthon resume, to me, takes a dent here if Latham finishes the season playing poorly the second half of the season. So I think he's becoming a little bit of a question mark in terms of his resume. He's not played well enough, though he blocked pretty well yesterday. The penalties are a concern. And, you know, he's talking with some of us about the constant wave of good pass rushers. I think he's getting used to the concept that there's going to be somebody good every week. And that, to me, is a mindset that he should have arrived at already. You know, not nothing is simple or locked in or a given with this team yet. I just want to go back to Levis for a second because I don't want to join Joe here in terms of the two of us getting pitchforks and torches. He was terrible yesterday. It's a huge dent in terms of, you know, the hopes for him going forward. I don't know what people exactly want them to do. Like, you can't cut him today and be done with him.
Why were you not joining me? What are you talking about?
Like, you
obviously I agree with you.
Yeah, I know, but I don't. We're going to be perceived as positive on Levis, and I don't know that we're positive. We're slightly nice, negative, maybe. I don't know. We're reasonable.
Well, there's a range. Yeah, there's still a range with him, but it's shifted to way more negative overall. Like, again, even the people on our text line who have been long time, like Kentucky people who love him, are like, okay, yeah, that's enough. So that tells me something. But yeah, obviously, some people have said he'll never complete a pass, and those are largely Vols fans who think the Titans slapped in the face when they drafted. One last thing, PK. I want you to compare the depths of this situation right now, just at this moment, just a temperature check, with the worst you've seen, which I guess is basically every 10 years. It's like a organized crime war has to happen every 10 years. Compare this to the worst you've seen. Just overall vibes and lack of hope and all of it.
I mean, I can't remember super clearly the Wisenhunt stuff. I did go back during this season at one point and compare the numbers. And I was surprised that the numbers for this team were worse than the numbers for Wisenhunt. But this is, at the very least, as bad as it's ever been.
Which is just a great time around here. PK, awesome stuff, man. Looking forward to talking to you on Wednesday and a little bit more later this week. Have a good rest of your day. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, boys. Thank you.
Paul Kuharsky, our guest, joins us every Monday morning at 7:30 after the Titans game. And, of course, on Wednesdays from 8 to 9, talking all things Titans as well. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rexroad.
Well, you're talking about a microdiscectomy. Ugh. By the way, I didn't even realize this. He also has had a torn ACL in the past. And sciatica symptoms from lifting weights that required a different surgery. So two surgeries plus an ACL.
What was that last word?
Sciatica.
Yeah, it is buns.
Sciatica. Okay. And I may be totally butchering that. Symptoms from lifting weights.
You probably sciatica? Are.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's sciatica. Oh, my God. I'm an idiot.
Simpler times, Joe, when the only thing you had to worry about with the Titans was, are they going to screw up the draft pick? But now you got to worry about everything else in addition to that. It is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. Joseph, the floor is yours.
I like how he mashed up some buns in there.
That's good.
Little buns mashup, so to speak. Okay, so first of all, I just want to say I'm at my brother's house. My family, I bounce around different family members. They're like, I can only handle them for a day. So I hope people can see this awesome Virginia Tech piggy bank right here.
Oh,
I learned yesterday, Robbie. Shout out to my brother. He brought me eggs, bacon, and like this giant thermos of coffee while the show was going on. Like and also Robbie, he told me yesterday. I didn't know this because it came up about your hatred for Shane Beamer, and he's "Oh yeah, I had him in English class. Shane Beamer was a year ahead of him. Boy, you guys could have." Some great seeing Beamer stories yesterday around here. I had no idea.
Well, I may need to participate in that.
Yeah, he's got some stories that'll make you like him even more. Okay, quick sub rant before I get to the main point today, which is going to be attacking a coworker. But quick sub rant. Good point by Tyler, who says if this Rex rant isn't about how stupid professional athletes are for not knowing to secure the balls they run across the goal line, I don't know what I'll do. God. Prime opportunity. Tyler, great call. why does this happen? I swear it happens more. Why is this happening so often? It happened twice yesterday.
I don't understand.
And Jonathan Taylor totally screwed the Colts with his.
I don't understand it. Like, it's first off, like, this idea that you've just got to drop the ball as soon as you cross the goal line. What's wrong with carrying the ball in the end zone, making sure you're in there for about 8 steps, and then doing whatever you want to do with it after that? Who cares? But, like, the fact that this continues to be a thing of dropping the football a step and a half before you get in the end zone, when it's happened at this point like 6 times per year in college and pro football, it's unbelievable to me.
It used to be like basically, I mean, some people had more elaborate celebrations, but for the most part, like, everybody spiked it.
Yeah.
Like, it was just you just spike it, right? You get in the end zone and you spike it. And some, you know, again, some people will twirl it, whatever. You know, I remember back in the day, the glory days, Barry Sanders would always find the ref and flip it to him. That's fine too. All of those things guarantee that you're going to cross the goal line with the ball. This whole, like, get rid of it, drop it. Like, it's a hot potato. It's just bizarre. So good call, Tyler. So I hope that sufficed for you. Listen, today I need to get after Big Joe Dubin. I am sick of this crap, Robbie. I am sick of this crap. And I want to ask you, you know, we love Big Joe. And by the way, shout out to Big Joe and Chase, you know, that Fox 17, I think, did a feature on him and the talking about mental health. And I can't say enough about that or how important that is. And I think that's just awesome that he's made that a centerpiece of their show. Also, holy crap, Joe Dubin, I'm going to beat you up. This Quindarius Washington is him.
Yeah,
what are his names? You already knew this crap.
Yes.
Oh, my God, I hate you both.
How did you figure it out?
Well, so let me just read these. So again, he changes his name. What are some of his other names he's changed to?
Well, there was Jenna Talia.
Yeah, Jenna Talia. Yeah, there's a nice one, you 12-year-old.
Joanna from Donaldson.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, now we got Quindarius Washington. So he's like, you know, he starts with the host sounds a bit talking about lack of accountability. We go back and forth a little bit. Then he's like, y'all search for excuses and joy de vivre from a team that's not good. I'm like, what? Who is this? Then he keeps going back to sleep in the host. I'm like, okay, blah, 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 whatever. Then he gets into, does the team pay you? Because Joe knows that the triggering thing for me is this. You're a homer. The team pays you. You're making it. He knows that what triggers me. So then I'm finally like, okay, have a day as fantastic as the time. So I'm trying to be like chill, you know? Yep, sure thing. All right. Then he starts talking about Machiavellian BS. You're sprouting? Again, talking on the payroll. But this is what gave him away, okay? Now I said, like, you're not making any sense. What does that mean? You know, then he's like, thankfully, Paul's talking common sense. But lack of accountability, we were listening in the break room and just started laughing when you said that. I'm like, all right, now you're just – this is like what Big Joe does, right? He makes up these, like, scenarios, like, you know, my kids heard you swear in the car, whatever. How is it – what, you know, all the good things you do, Joe, can you not do something better with your time than troll other shows? Why don't you troll a show on another network? Why don't you troll them?
No, I enjoy
this
thoroughly.
Why you got to troll us?
Because it works every time. This is like the 5th time he's done this to you, and it will work again in the future too, and I look forward to it.
So wait a minute. So you're telling me that you know this stuff, he tells you in advance?
Oh, we've had complete text conversations about it for about a week and a half.
I'm absolutely fine. Okay, that's fine. You don't think I can get you? You just wait.
Oh, you
that's
can.
Fine.
I just
that's fine.
The fact that this is now the 6th time that he's gotten you is just more and more funny to me. And look, I don't know about this it originally, and then I figure it out, and then we play a game to see how long it takes for you to figure it out. And sometimes it takes a long time.
Okay. See, I'm okay with the you're like wondering what's going on, and then you figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. But if it's premeditated with you,
no.
That is.
But it is fun to watch. Okay. Once right. I do figure it out, it's fun to watch for how long it takes you to figure it out. I know that.
Do something more productive with your time than messing up your own shows, Big Joe. This show could have been awesome today. We were having amazing conversation. You derailed it with your trolling.
Thank you, Quindarius, for texting in. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us coming up next. We'll get into all things Titans with him after the loss yesterday to Cincinnati. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Boda Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.